Supreme Court actually ruled for Trump. So remember when Colorado and several different states was considering trying to remove Trump from the ballot to try to prevent people from being able to choose who's the president of the United States of America? Well, guess what? It went all the way up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court actually ruled in Trump's favor. Check it out.
All right, we just got the breaking news. Thank you for being with us here on MSNBC. The Supreme Court issuing a ruling on the Colorado ballot case. I want to go straight to Ken Delanian, who is outside the Supreme Court with this decision. Ken, what do we know?
Good morning, Anna. We've learned that it was a 9-0 decision ruling that Donald Trump can be on the ballot in Colorado. And
now, you know, people are so mad at that. Listen. You got to be so wrong for the Supreme Court to rule 9-0, both conservative and liberal justices, 9-0 ruling that and reversing the decision of removing from. Now, how many taxpayer dollars and how much time was wasted even doing this in the first place? You got to be so wrong, 9-0, that they're removing the fact that you just egregiously lied and tried to finesse and tried to remove it from the ballot. Here's my thing. Let the people decide. It's not up to you. Let the people decide.
Other states, justices during the oral argument seemed very skeptical of the idea that one state could decide for the nation whether Donald Trump was an insurrectionist and was therefore disqualified under this 150-year-old provision. Now we know that there was not a single justice who held that view. So there were no dissents to this 9-0 decision ruling that Donald Trump can remain on the ballot in Colorado as voters go to the polls tomorrow during Super Tuesday, and also in Maine, where there had been a decision to disqualify him from the ballot. And
so this Super Tuesday is today.
Ruling, we understand, has the effect of prohibiting other states from attempting to do so. And that really reflects what we heard from both liberal and conservative justices during the oral arguments, Anna. For example, Elena Kagan confronting the plaintiffs, essentially saying, your problem here is that you're arguing that one state can decide for the nation who can be president. And no justice was willing to go along with that.
All right. So we know that he absolutely continues to be Teflon Don, so shout out to him. But he also responded to the Supreme Court ballot victory. Check it out what he had to say.
You cannot take now on something that will be spoken about 100 years from now and 200 years from now. Extremely important. Essentially, you cannot take somebody out of a race because an opponent would like to have it that way. And it has nothing to do with the fact that it's the leading candidate, whether it was the leading candidate or a candidate that was well down on the totem pole. You cannot take somebody out of a race. The voters can take the person out of the race very quickly, but a court shouldn't be doing that. And the Supreme Court saw that very well. And I really do believe that will be a unifying factor, because while most states were thrilled to have me, there were some that didn't, and they didn't want that for political reasons. They didn't want that because of poll numbers, because the poll numbers are very good. We're beating President Biden in almost every poll. New York Times came out yesterday with a very big poll for us. So they didn't like that, and you can't do that. You can't do what they tried to do. And hopefully Colorado, as an example, will unify. I know there's tremendous support. They brought our support up very strong in Colorado, because people in Colorado thought that was a terrible thing that they did. And while we're on the subject, and another thing that will be coming up very soon will be immunity for a president, and not immunity for me, but for any president. If a president doesn't have full immunity, you really don't have a president, because nobody that is serving in that office will have the courage to make, in many cases, what would be the right decision, or it could be the wrong decision. It could be, in some cases, the wrong decision, but they have to make decisions, and they have to make them free of all terror that can be rained upon them when they leave office, or even before they leave office. And some decisions are very tough. I can tell you that as a president, that some decisions to make are very tough. I took out ISIS, and I took out some very big people from the standpoint of a different part of the world. Two of the leading terrorists, probably the two leading terrorists ever that we've ever seen in this world. And those are big decisions. I don't want to be prosecuted for it. Another president wouldn't want to be prosecuted for it. It had a tremendously positive impact. It stopped everything cold. And sometimes you have to make, they were tough decisions. Sometimes you have to make decisions like that. When you make a decision, you don't want to have your opposing party or opponent or even somebody that just thinks you're wrong bring a criminal suit against you or any kind of a suit when you leave office. I have that right now at a level that nobody's ever seen before. I have rogue prosecutors and I have rogue judges. I have judges that are out of control. And it's a very unfair thing for me, but I'm serving perhaps as a sample to others of what should not be happening. When you make good decisions, and in my case, the economy was great. We didn't go into any wars. We totally defeated ISIS. We provided the largest tax cuts in history. We provided the largest regulation cuts in history. But think of it, no wars. We beat ISIS 100% of the caliphate. And there were no wars. We did a job that was great, but maybe I wouldn't have done that. The caliphate, defeating them, was very powerful. It was going to take 4 years. It took me 4 months. But it was a very strong dictum that I gave. I said, get them. Defeat them. End it. We were fighting for 20 years against ISIS, and we did it very quickly. I don't want to be prosecuted. In that case, it worked out very well. There will be some things that perhaps don't work out so well, but I don't want to be prosecuted because I decided to do something that is very much for the good of the country and actually for the good of the world. A president shouldn't have that on his mind, and he has to have a free and clear mind when he makes very big decisions, or it's going to be nothing more than a ceremonial post. You'll be president.
Yeah, I agree to an extent of what he's saying, and that I think that the leader of the free world often at times has to make some of the most difficult decisions. What we see happening right now, I can't remember in any of my history lessons or anything that I've ever studied, this being a thing for any president that came before him, and that they're trying to leverage the fact that the people actually support him against him. And instead of letting the people determine whether or not he should become president again, they're trumping up a whole bunch of charges, and they're saying that he doesn't deserve to be president anymore, or at the very least even doesn't deserve to be on the ballot. And that's insane. It's very much insane. Even in the midst of the whole ethics probe to determine whether or not they should even be the ones to prosecute the case in the first place, as far as Georgia, I believe that is absolutely insane. So I agree with that.
It'll be a wonderful thing, and you won't do anything because you don't want to be hit by your opponent or hit by somebody else. Because who wants?
Because then the person that defeated you can then leverage power of the government against you.
To leave office and go through what I've gone through. I'm being prosecuted by Biden, my opponent, because every one of these things, whether it's Fannie Willis or Bragg, these are local and state, but they're in total coordination with the White House. You can't do that. It shouldn't be done.
And that's where, for me personally, and look, one of the things I like about him is that he just says what he's really thinking. He just says it clearly, plainly. He said, listen, Fannie Willis and what's happening over there in Georgia is in total 100% cahoots. What's happening over in the White House? He said, listen, the judges, district attorney, we all know that the judge that's even determining whether or not Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade should be a part of this case in the first place donated to her campaign. Where they do that at?
I mean, a thing like that, in the case of the DA's office, they put one of the top people, maybe the second person, in the Manhattan DA's office to get Trump. They had a Hillary Clinton lawyer leave the law firm, very prestigious, big law firm, leave the law firm to go into the DA's office to get Trump, Pomerantz, Mr. Pomerantz. So he goes in to become a prosecutor, worked for the Democrat Party and Hillary Clinton, goes in to prosecute Donald Trump at a local level, in total coordination with the Department of Justice, meaning Biden. And then you have the Fannie Willis, or as
That's
she
crazy.
Say, Fannie, F-A-N-I, but Fannie. And she hired somebody, knew the person long before this horrible prosecution
calling it what it is.
Took place. And she went out and she paid him an unbelievable amount of money, more money than he ever had dreamt possible, much more money than other people that are that do that for a living. He never did it at all, had no experience in it at all. And they had obviously a conflict. We don't have to go into that, but they were able to get a lot of money because it was a high-profile person. Me, I'm a very high-profile person.
And he calling it like it is. And he's just calling it like it is. He said, listen, they made a lot of money prosecuting a high-profile person. They were unethical. She was busting it down like for a real one, and I ain't even going to say it, but we all know it. Look at Sensei Zoe. What is he saying that you actually disagree with? What is he saying that you actually disagree with? He's saying the truth. They was busting it down. She lied. The text messages show she lied. The cell phone tower show she lied. He made a bunch of money on something that he's never even had experience doing. He's made more money than anybody that came before him. They benefited from it. It's actually in cahoots with different people that's on different legislative levels as far as the branches that they serve. We not going to say no names. And they lied. Everything that he's saying is absolutely true. He's even omitting a lot of the things, a lot of the details that's really happening. He's telling the truth. He's just being real. They all was in cahoots. They all working together. And this should absolutely be something that we objectively say, yeah, you can't really do that. That doesn't make sense. She lied.
So they were able to pay him close to $1 million when he was not equipped to do the job, and she's not equipped to do the job, and that case should end immediately. That case is so conflicted, nobody's ever seen anything like it. And then you have deranged Jack Smith, who's a Trump hater and represents all the Trump haters, and he's going wild. He's just a wild man. He's been overturned unanimously by the Supreme Court. Went after other people over the years. He's had great failure. But he's mean, he's nasty, he's unfair. And the judges on these cases, they're all Trump haters. Other than we have maybe one or two that I think can be fair. But you look at New York, what's happened. I mean, these people have tremendous hatred. You can't do this to a president. And again, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about in the future. A president has to be free. A president has to be, if the president does a good
job. Shout out to fighter jets.
Some people would say a great job. But if the president does a good job, a president should be free and clear and frankly celebrated for having done a good job.
Let me say this, and then we can move over into the next thing, because I want to make sure that we get over into these migrants, diversity, equity, and inclusion being priced out, people having to go into tiny homes. I want to get to the money. Let me just say this. What I'm wondering, especially from a lot of these people that don't like him, cool, you don't like him as a person, awesome. God bless you. You have the right to your opinion. From 2016 through 2020, basically, the end of 2019, how were things for you? When you look at the previous years that happened before that, when you look at 2012 through 2016, versus 2016 through 2020, and all of the progress that we made, how was the difference for you personally? That's all I'm asking. And then when you look at 2016 through 2020 versus 2020 through 2024, how's things working out for you? I'm just asking questions. How's things working out for you? When you look at the different timelines and you say what the economy was doing, what inflation was doing, what happened as far as how you was getting money, did you have any unemployment, Did you have a lot of uncertainty? Was you trying to figure it out? Was everybody getting to the bag? Everybody was running it up. Economy was booming. Wars was ending. NAFTA was being renegotiated. Tariffs was being enacted against China. When we start having this conversation and you just remove your emotion from it and you start looking at it objectively instead of how many women he bust down or he grabbed in the crotch, I just want y'all to know, I just want to ask the question, what was your life like in these four-year spans? Over the last 4 years, how was things been for you? Over 2020 through 2024, how have things been for you? That's all I'm asking. Trap and Slay says she paid $13 the other night. When you think about it, we had no new wars. Other countries seemed like they were scared of us. Gas prices was low as piss. Nobody was complaining about food prices. Everybody was getting money. Everybody was running up a check. We didn't need no stimuluses or none of that, right? And then 2020 through 2024, we got more arguments amongst each other. You know why people argue? Because they be broke. Because it be struggle season. People, listen, money fixeth a lot of things. Money solveth a lot. And I'm using it ETH. Money solveth a lot of problems. Money solveth a lot. When the money is good, people don't have no arguments. They ain't going back and forth. They're not going to sit here. You can overlook a lot of things when you're starting to get to the money. You know what? He cussed me out a little bit, but he bought me a car. You know what I'm saying? The ladies wasn't even tripping on us back in there. Listen, 2016 through 2020, they didn't trip. Y'all do realize that, right? He got in a little later than he said that he was going to come in. But the check was still there. You know what I'm saying? But nobody tripping. You notice how that worked? You know what? He was a little grumpy today, but he made sure that my car was filled with gas. The ladies couldn't wait to give up the box. Now it seemed like that they putting the box on the chastity belt. I said, where all of the box go for all of the fellas? Where did all of the box go for the fellas? You know what I'm saying? Refrigerators was full. People was doing meal prep. Everybody was traveling. We seen more women traveling to different countries, BBLs. Everybody seemed like they was figuring out how to get along. Things wasn't perfect, but they was trying to figure out how to get along. They didn't trip. Everybody was getting money. Everybody was making money. Then the gas prices went up. Inflation was on 10. Y'all had to stay home together. Y'all tried to figure it out. They was locking down the cities. Y'all went on rent moratorium. Everybody all of a sudden started complaining about their student loan payments. Couldn't nobody get no new jobs? Everybody started having to work two jobs. You start seeing women complaining, oh, I could do good by my God self. Like, what? You wasn't saying that in 2017, 18, and 19. All of a sudden, you need a high-value man. Remember? Y'all was arguing with me. You said, Anton, you can get by on $40,000, $50,000. Remember? We could do that. Now, all of a sudden, $100,000 ain't enough no more. Last night, we was on a live stream, and they said, $100,000? I said, oh. Just a second ago, y'all said a high-value man was $100,000. Everybody was doing good in 2017, 18, and 19. We was throwing money in the club. Everybody was popping. You know what I'm saying? Everybody had a good time. People was trying to figure it out. Wasn't nobody complaining. Murders was down. Crime was down. Chicago always been Chicago, but we ain't gonna go there. Life was relatively good. It was trending upwards. We had suffered in 2008, 9, 10, 11, 12. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, we were suffering. 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, We thought it was going to get better. We was like, man, this is kind of looking a little bit more like 2010 than it did 2008, 2007, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Everybody had free money. People was going to get BBL. People was like, come on, man. I don't care who he busting down. What I do care about is policies, politics, and whether or not inflation is out of control. And so, you know. Guys was getting hair units. Remember that? Y'all start, you can't even go to the barbershop unless you're spending $200 now. You can't go to the barbershop unless you're spending $200 now. Now, every liberal city, look, they got y'all to defund the police. California is in a crisis. They in a deficit. Chicago is in a deficit. Migrant crisis is out of control. Borders then opened up. You got more people. Atlanta had migrants in the airport. Boston got them sleeping at night. Listen, you know everything is in the opposite direction when Detroit decided that they wanted to step up and they actually want to come up and everybody else is on the downturn. I'm just being honest with you. You see how that flip-flop? We doing good over here. Listen, I'm cool. We good. Don't worry about it. We good. Every other city is on the downturn. L.A., Philadelphia. When you go out to Philadelphia, go down Kensington Street, everybody like this. I ain't never seen a group of people sleep standing up in the middle of the street, tilted over to the side. Everybody in Philadelphia now is like, I said, what is that? What they on? That's a new type of heroin. They said, Anton, that ain't heroin. That's that Fenty. I said, Rihanna got in some new drawers out there. They got niggas sleeping up, standing up. I said, no, that's that Fenty, that fentanyl. They got that fentanyl out there in Philly. I said, white people taking it too? I said, wait a minute. You telling me white people is on the street sleeping upside down too? I'm just saying, Kensington wasn't Kensington when Trump was in. Kensington wasn't Kensington when Trump was in. Tell me that ain't looking like that. Tell me that ain't looking like that. Okay, listen, I was just asking a question. I ain't tripping. Okay, now you ain't got no middle class no more. Y'all don't know what is a high value man is no more.